This morning we want to ask the question and hopefully answer it sufficiently. Is Jesus God? You know, you get different answers to that. A lot of people will say, well, yeah, of course he is. Others will say, well, he's the Son of God, but I'm not sure if he's really God. Others will, especially in religions other than Christianity, they'll say, well, Jesus was a good man, or he was a wise man, or maybe even some, like Islam, will say, well, he was a prophet. But no, he's not the Son of God. And then, of course, the atheist will, some will say, well, there is no Jesus. He didn't even live. There's no such person. And then others will say, well, he was just a man that people, you know, have elevated him to that level, but he wasn't really anything other than just a man. The question is, what is Jesus? Is he really just a man? Is he a good man? Is he a prophet? What is he? Who is he? And that's an important question for us to ask for several reasons. We sang songs of praise to him today. We worship him. And when we do those things, we have to realize that if he is not deity, if he is not God, then we're guilty of worshiping a false god. So this is a very important subject, because if he is not who we believe him to be, then we're no better than the idolaters who are worshiping stone or metal images. If he's not truly God, then he's a false god, and we shouldn't worship him. So we need to consider that. If he's not divine, then Christianity as a whole, it's just a sham. It's not for real. It's fake. It's just a false religion like any other false man-made religion out there. Jesus must be one of four things. He must either be God-man, he must be God in the flesh. He must be a madman. He must be a mythical man. Or he must be a bad man. You'll notice some things are missing from that list. Prophet's not up there. Good man is not up there. And we'll discover why as we go through this lesson this morning. Let's consider a few things. First of all, let's consider Jesus is called God and never denies it. On several occasions throughout the time he was on earth, people referred to him as God, and he never once denied that to be the case. He never said, oh, no. You don't call me God. I'm not God. The Father, God's our Father, not me. He never said that. Any of us, I hope, that if someone said, oh, you're God, we'd say, oh no, I'm just a man, I'm just a woman. We're just people like you. We're not gods. But Jesus never denied it. And that says something. He is called God by the Father in Hebrews chapter 1 and verses 8 and 9. But of the Son, he says, your throne, O God, is forever and ever. If the Father calls him God, then who are we to argue with that? Isaiah, by inspiration, calls him God in Isaiah 9 and verse 6. Isaiah says, for unto us a child is born, to us a son is given. The government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. He's referred to as Mighty God. Was Isaiah wrong? If Isaiah was inspired by God, then who are we to argue with that? He was called Emmanuel by people in Matthew 1:23. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel. Now, we said, wait a minute, they named him Jesus. Well, yes, they named him Jesus. Jesus means he will save his people from his sins. He's Savior, in essence. But Emmanuel, Matthew tells us there in verse 23, means God with us. Now, God with us wasn't the name that Mary and Joseph gave him, but that was what people called him, and that's what we said. People called him God. They said, this is God with us. Thomas called him God to his face in John chapter 20 and verse 28. This is probably the most telling one. Again, of all of these, When Thomas finally saw him after the resurrection, he said to him, "My Lord and my God." And you know what Jesus didn't do? Jesus didn't say, whoa. Well, I'm the Son of God, but I'm not God. He didn't say that. He accepted Thomas's claim that he was Lord and God without any doubts about it. He was called by other apostles. He was called God by the other apostles in various different places. Colossians 2:9, Romans 9:4-5, 2 Peter 1:1, 1 John 5:20. We certainly won't read all of those this morning, but there are several occasions in the Scriptures that he is referred to as God. We saw already in John 1, the Word was with God and the Word was God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, verse 14 tells us. That's Jesus. Before he was Jesus, he was the Word. And he was with God in the beginning and he was God. And he was called God on several occasions by several different ones throughout the Scriptures. The second thing that we want to consider is that Jesus is worshipped and he never rejects it. And this goes along with those same ideas that if he was not God, he should have said so when people said he was. And here, when he's being worshipped, if he's being worshipped and he shouldn't be worshipped, then he should reject that. He should say something about it. He should stop that. That's what a good person would do. Jesus himself in Matthew chapter 4 and verse 10 says, "You shall worship the Lord your God and him only shall you serve." We're not to worship and serve anyone other than God in that way. And so Jesus knew this rule. He wasn't unknowledgeable. He wasn't ignorant of the fact that he should not be worshipped if he wasn't God. In fact, we see that on several occasions, one in particular in Acts 10 and verse 25 and 26, good men refused to be worshipped. When Cornelius falls down at Peter's feet to worship him, Peter says, "Get up. I'm just a man like you." When Paul and Barnabas are about to, the people of Lystra and Derbe, they're about to offer sacrifice to them as gods. They do everything in their power to stop it. They finally manage to stop it, and then what do they get for their trouble of keeping these people from falsely worshiping them? Paul gets stoned nearly to death as a result of that. But they stopped that. They refused to allow other people to worship them because they knew they weren't worthy of worship. Even angels. And we've been studying angels on Wednesday night, and we've learned that, you know, angels are of a higher order than we are as human beings, but even angels refuse to be worshipped. In Revelation 22, verses 8 and 9, John falls down at the feet of the angel to worship, and the angel gets him up and says, Oh, no. Worship God. I'm just a servant of God like you. Worship God. So throughout the Bible, it's very clear that the only being that is to be worshipped is God. And yet in spite of these things, and in spite of the fact that Jesus knows that, what we see is that people worship Jesus. Again, several passages here, and we're not going to have time to read all of them, but throughout Matthew as well as in John, one of the young men this morning in his lesson mentioned the blind man in John chapter 9. That blind man, at the end of that interaction that he had with Jesus, he said, "Lord, I believe." Jesus said, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" He said, "Well, who is he?" And he said, "Well, I'm the one speaking to you." And he said, "Lord, I believe." And he worshipped him. And Jesus didn't say, "Oh, no, don't do that. I'm just a man. Don't worship me." No, that's not what Jesus said. In fact, we see in several places, people bowed down to Jesus to worship him. And he never stopped it. In fact, not only did people worship Jesus, but angels worshipped him. Hebrews 1 and verse 6. The Hebrew writer says, "And again, when he brings the firstborn into the world, he says, 'Let all God's angels worship him.'" All of the angels worshipped him at the time he was born. And not that alone, But consider this, even demons worshipped him. Now that should say something to us. Quite on another note, aside from our issue of is Jesus God, isn't it interesting? Even the demons worship Jesus, but that won't save them. Sometimes we think and we feel like and we act like that if we just come on Sunday and worship Jesus and worship God the Father, and if we just come and worship, that'll save us. Didn't save the demons. Why do we think it'll save us? Christianity is more than just a come on Sunday and worship God religion. It is a day in and day out, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 day a year religion, where we are to serve God continually. But Mark chapter 5 and verse 6, we see the demons. This was a case of one who was possessed with demons. And in spite of that possession, or perhaps because of it, those demons recognize. It's interesting, the demons always knew who Jesus was. The people, not so much. The people sometimes, he's just that carpenter's son from Nazareth. Who's that guy? Why are we listening to him? But the demons always knew exactly who he was. And in this case, when this man filled with the demons, saw Jesus from afar, he ran and fell down before him. He worshipped before him, some translations say. He knew what was coming. He knew who that guy was. He knew that wasn't just some man. Even those demons knew to worship him. And they begged him, they prayed to him, don't cast us out into the abyss. Now, interestingly enough, let's consider this as well. God is the creator. We all know that. If we believe in God, we believe God created the world. God created the universe. But Jesus created all things. Colossians 1:15-17 says, He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by Him all things were created in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities. All things were created through Him and for Him. John 1:3, from the scripture reading that we had just a little bit ago, all things were made through Him. And without Him was not anything made that was made. How many ways can you say? Everything that was created through Jesus, by Jesus, by Him, by the Word. And Hebrews 1:1-2 says much the same thing. In these last days He has spoken to us, the Father, God has spoken to us by His Son, whom He appointed the heir of all things, through whom He also created the world. There's no doubt about it. Jesus, before He was born to be Jesus, He created the world. He created everything. But only God can create. Only God creates and created the universe. It says something about who Jesus is and who the Bible claims Him to be. And let's consider, Jesus claims equality with God by word and deed, and He never denies that as well. He claims to be equal to the Father. You know, there are some who will say, the Father, He's the big God, and Jesus is a little God. Or, the Father, He's the God with the big G, but Jesus, He's just a God with a little g. Jesus never taught anything like that, and the Bible doesn't teach anything like that. No, they were equal. In fact, what we see is that in John 10 and verse 33, the people accused Him of what was happening with them. He says, "It is not for a good work that we are going to stone you, but for blasphemy. Because you, being a man, see, they thought Jesus was just a man. But you, being a man, make yourself equal, make yourself God. You make yourself out to be God. And yet, well, if he was God, that wasn't a bad thing. If he wasn't God, that was certainly blasphemy, and they were right. And they were right to try to stone him for that. But we see also he makes himself equal with God in John 5 and verse 18. Jesus answered them, "My Father is working until now," in verse 17, "and I am working." And this was why the Jews were seeking all the more to kill him, because not only was he breaking the Sabbath, because he healed somebody on the Sabbath day, but he was even calling God his own Father, making him equal with God. And they didn't like that. They knew exactly what he was. It's interesting that sometimes people today, no, Jesus wasn't really trying to make himself equal to God with that statement. The Jews knew that's exactly what he was doing. He said, "My Father and I, yeah, we're doing the same work here." He was saying he was equal to God the Father. And then he says in John 8, 58 and 59, "Before Abraham was, I am." All the way back, before Abraham existed, I was there. And it's interesting, that phrase, that "I am." That's the same thing that when God spoke to Moses from that burning bush. And he said, "Well, who shall I say sent him? Tell them I am sent you. I am that I am." And that's the same phrase that Jesus uses here. They question, "You're not even 50 years old. How did you see Abraham? He's been dead for hundreds of years. How do you know Abraham?" He said, "Yeah, let me tell you something. Before Abraham was, I was already around." We see also, they understood another thing, that only God can forgive sins. Now, I know we're supposed to forgive each other, but as far as actually making sin go away, well, we can't do that. We cannot hold sins that others commit against us. We can say, "Well, I'm not going to hold that. I'm going to forgive you." But our forgiveness is very different than God's forgiveness. I can forgive everybody for everything. That doesn't mean they get to go to heaven. I can refuse to forgive everybody for everything. That doesn't mean they won't get to go to heaven. I don't have that power. But God does. God can truly forgive sin and wipe it out. And only God can really do that. And the Pharisees even understood that. In Luke chapter 5 and verses 20 through 24. He saw the faith of the... You remember the story? The guy was lame. He couldn't walk. And so his friends got up on the roof. The house was so crowded they couldn't even get in the door. So they got up on the roof and they tore a hole in the roof and lowered their friend down right in front of Jesus. And when he saw their faith, it says that he said to them, "Man, your sins are forgiven you." Now, I know that's not what his friends were hoping for, right? His friends were like, "We want to get him healed." But Jesus said, "Your sins are forgiven you." Oh, the uproar that caused. I mean, could one of us tell someone, "Hey, all your sins are forgiven"? Well, yeah, we do. I suppose when somebody comes and they repent of their sins and they confess Jesus and they're baptized, we would say, you know, yeah, your sins have been forgiven, because that's what the Bible teaches that happens. But just for me to walk up to somebody and say, "Hey, your sins are forgiven you," I don't have that kind of authority, that kind of power. And yet Jesus did that. He said, "Your sins are forgiven." And the scribes and the Pharisees began to question, saying, "Who is this who speaks blasphemies? He's speaking evil against God, because who can forgive sins but God alone?" Now notice his response to them wasn't, "Oh, you're wrong. Anybody can forgive sins." No. He didn't argue. He accepted that they were right. Only God can forgive sins. Because they were arguing his point for him. They just said, "Only God can forgive sins." And he said, "Yep, you're right. And guess what I just did?" And he gives them a proof of it. He says, when he perceived their thoughts, he answered and said, "Why do you question in your hearts?" He said, which is easier to say? Your sins are forgiven, or get up and walk? but so that you can know that the Son of Man has the authority on earth to forgive sins. And who has the authority to forgive sins? Only God. But so you'll know that I have that authority. That's what Jesus said. So you know I have the authority to do that. In other words, so you'll know that I am God. Let me say the harder thing. Because anybody can say your sins are forgiven, and how would we know? I mean, we can't tell by looking whether somebody's sins are forgiven or not. But we can tell whether somebody can get up and walk or not. And so he said, rise up and walk. And the man got up and walked. And he said, that's my proof that I can forgive sins, because I'm God. Now, he didn't say it quite in those words, but that was the argument that he was making. They said, only God can forgive sin. He said, you want to have proof that I can? I'll heal this man so he can walk. And there's your proof. Of course, we could add to that all the other miracles that he did, all the other works that he did by that power, and, of course, his own resurrection. You know, he raised people from the dead. Others raised people from the dead. Elijah, Elisha, Jesus raised other people from the dead. Even Peter raised people from the dead. Paul, you know, they could do that. Okay, but wait a minute. Who raised Jesus up from the dead? It wasn't somebody else. In fact, he explained it. I lay my life down and I take it up again. All those miracles that he did showed that yes, absolutely, he was equal to God the Father. We see also he claimed to be one with the Father. In John chapter 10 and verse 30, I and the Father are one. Now, you can't be one with somebody that you're not equal to. You can't be. And so he's saying there, I'm equal with God. And then in John 12:45, to see Jesus is to see God. Whoever sees me sees him who sent me. Jesus made it clear. If you're seeing me, you're seeing the one that sent me here. And then in John 14:7, to know Jesus is to know God. The disciples even the apostles didn't fully understand who he was for the longest time. And here they are, and they're saying, well, you know, show us the Father. You know, let us know the Father. If we'll believe then. And he says in verse 7, if you had known me, you would have known my Father also. For from now on you do know him, and you have seen him. You're looking at him. If you know me, you've known my Father. He says they are one. So let's consider that then. So remember the question we talked about earlier, that, you know, what kind of man is he? Is he God in the flesh? Is he a God-man? Or, and that's what we believe. Or the other possibilities are, he was just crazy. He was a madman. He was delusional. You know, if we met somebody today that said, I'm God, we'd lock them up, wouldn't we? We'd put them in the insane asylum. Because you're crazy. That's what a lot of people thought about Jesus when he said that. The problem was, for them, he had the works to back it up. He had the proof and the power and the authority to back up what he was saying. But some would say he was a crazy man. But maybe, just maybe he was a mythical man. He never really existed. He's just a myth. Or he was a bad man. He was a liar, a deceiver, pretending to be God, knowing he wasn't, but just trying to deceive people for what? So they'd crucify him? I mean, I don't know what his end game there was. But, you know, to get fame and popularity, he had some for a little while, didn't he? Crowds followed him. But here's the thing that can't happen as we think about this. No one can stand on the claim that Jesus was just a good man or that he was a prophet. You see, there's no middle ground. Either he was bad or he was God. There's nowhere in between. Because a good man would not say he was God and let people worship him and pretend he was equal with God if he wasn't. That's not a good man. that is an evil, wicked man or a crazy man that just doesn't have any good sense to understand the difference. If he was not God, then he was not good. No one but God could have done the things he did. So we should believe that he is God, come in the flesh. If we believe he is God, then we should live like we believe it. Are you living like you really believe that he is God? That he really is worthy of your worship and your obedience and your submission to everything he's told you to do? If you're here this morning and you are not worshiping and serving him, if you have not accepted him as God, then perhaps you need to fix that this morning. If you need to repent of sins, if you need to obey the gospel, we mentioned a while ago about becoming a Christian by repenting and confessing Jesus as the Christ, the Son of God, and being buried with him in baptism to wash your sins away. You can do that this morning. If you are a Christian, but maybe you just kind of always had, he was a prophet kind of guy. No. Put your real faith in him. He is, was and is, and always will be God. He came in the flesh, but now he has gone back to heaven to be with his Father. And he wants us to come be with him, but only if we will worship and serve him. If you're here and you need to respond, please do so as we stand and as we sing.